Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spirit of America. Okay, we're all going to Allentown. Before 9/11, 48 senators voted to burn the flag of the United States. 40 were Democrats, and 8 were rhinos, including Mitch McConnell and Senator Fred Thompson, who was listed as a conservative. So, all that glitters is not gold. Also, 55 days before 9/11, and I think that's like 2 weeks after the 4th of July, am I right about that? 135 Viet Congress mice voted to burn the flag. And I've got a list of them all on YouTube. If you go to YouTube and Google Flag Burners of Record, They'll all come up, including Hillary Clinton, the B of Benghazi. Yes, who cares how they die? Whether it was two school kids out for a walk, or a Muslim Brotherhood mortar platoon. And where was our commander-in-chief at the height of the battle? Was he standing by the men? Was he watching this in real time? No. He had committed cowardice in the face of the enemy, which, according to the Uniform Code of Military Justice, is punishable by court-martial and a firing squad. But he'll never get a firing squad. What, are you crazy? Communists can do anything they want in this country. So, welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. I was talking to a young lady today, and she tells me she's a big fan of The Housewives of Atlanta. And she was watching an episode of The Housewives of Atlanta, and the host was giving a tour of the oldest black church in Savannah, which was part of the Underground Railroad. And they went into the church, and they could see holes cut in the floor so that the people could breathe, so air could get in. And the hostess was saying that they can't find, or the narrator was saying, they can't find the entrance or the exit. And the hostess said, well, it's got to be down there because the railroad had to come out of there. Are we in trouble? Yeah, that's like meeting a kid coming out of high school history class and asking him who was Abe Lincoln, and he tells you he freed the vampires. There are more Abe Lincoln vampire killer movies than there are movies about the man who took a bullet for his country. So I guess we're all going to be Americanos, huh?
That's that.
This I took from the Shubat Foundation. Guy has a newsletter. His name is Walid Shubat. He used to be a terrorist, and he converted to Christianity, and now he loves everybody. Now, I say he's a terrorist. Now, let me just say maybe he was a terrorist sympathizer, because I don't have any proof that he did any terroristic acts. But he will admit that he was a Muslim, sympathetic to the terrorists. So he has an article up entitled "Iran Nuke Deal Brokered by Key Benghazi Figure," and this one is going to break my heart because there's an Irishman involved. And I was raised to believe that all Irishmen are patriotic and God-loving and fearing and would never betray their country. So when I see an act of Quislingism being performed by anybody with a Gaelic name, it breaks my heart because we are better than that. Former Hillary Clinton Deputy Chief of Staff Jake Sullivan is obviously good at making bad deals. Earlier this year, he was identified as a key State Department figure. Let me just stop right there. The State Department, in my humble opinion, has been a hotbed of communism since they infiltrated it in the 40s. And I believe there are remnants still in the State Department who betrayed his country every day. That is in my personal opinion. And there's no doubt about it that they have had traitors in the State Department. And there's a book out on Joseph McCarthy, who was the only one who was fighting communism and eventually silenced. And he was hot on about 80 members of the State Department from a list of 200. And when the Soviet Union faked the collapse and opened up their records, the Winona Papers verified McCarthy's accusations. But he was isolated and destroyed by the communists. And I believe there are communists in the State Department today. They may not know they're communists, but they are following a KGB policy rather than an American policy. He was identified as a key State Department figure who worked with the CIA to craft the now infamous Benghazi talking points that consisted of the lie that a video was responsible for the attacks. Imagine leaving four Americans to die and then you make up a shit story about a video that led to it. An attack on 911. Another 911 attack we were not ready for. There are two things that suck in America. You know what they are? Intelligence and the ability to negotiate. There are two greatest weaknesses, and we're going to pay for it down the road. The only problem with waking up America is the explosions are not loud enough. Now it has been learned that 2 months prior to the Benghazi attack, Sullivan was part of another clandestine team that negotiated the extremely undesirable Iranian nuke deal. This is via Yahoo News/AP.
Last year, while Jake Sullivan was traveling with his boss, the bitch of Benghazi, Secretary of State Hillary Bloodclot, faked Bloodclot Clinton, he quietly disappeared during a stop in Paris. He showed up again a few days later, rejoining Clinton's traveling contingent in Mongolia. In between, Sullivan secretly jetted to the Middle Eastern nation of Oman to meet with officials from Iran. People familiar with the trip said the July 2012 meeting is one of the Obama administration's earliest known face-to-face contacts with Iran and reveals that Sullivan, who moved from the State Department to the White House earlier this year, was personally involved in the administration's outreach to the Islamic Republic far earlier than had been reported. Remember that day, that time, July 2012, okay? He was meeting with Iran, July 2012, because when an investigation takes place and you hear all these facts and figures and dates, if July 2012 doesn't come up, you'll know that you know something more than they are telling. Okay. In May of this year, the Weekly Standard's Stephen Hayes implicated Sullivan directly in both the crafting of Susan Rice's demonstrably false talking points as well as the delivery of them to her. Email sent in the hours and days before Sunday, September the 16th, 2012, indicates Sullivan's high level of involvement in an egregious lie to the American people. That's not a lie. That's treason, man. Mike Morrell, deputy director of the CIA, agreed to work with Jake Sullivan and Rhodes. So Mike Morrell sold out CIA guys who were trapped in Benghazi, who were rescued by the four who were murdered. At the time, Sullivan was deputy chief of staff to Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and the State Department's Director of Policy Planning. He is now the top national security advisor to Vice President Joe Biden. Dennis McDonough, then a top national security advisor to Obama, and now his chief of staff, deferred on Rhodes' behalf to Sullivan. Unbelievable. The email to Rice reported that Sullivan would work with a small group of individuals from the intelligence community to finalize the talking points on Saturday before sending them on to the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, which had originated the request for talking points. Remember our two greatest weaknesses, intelligence and the ability to negotiate. The sender of the email spoke with Sullivan after the meeting, reminding him that Rice would be doing the Sunday morning shows and needed to receive the final talking points. Sullivan committed to making sure Rice was updated before the Sunday shows. The sender told Sullivan the name of the staffer, redacted in the email, who would be running Rice's prep session and encouraged the team to keep Rice in the loop. At 2:44 p.m., the author of the email to Rice followed up directly with Sullivan, asking for a copy of the talking points to help with Rice's preparation for TV. Sullivan promised to provide them. Susan Rice, like Sullivan, she was promoted after Benghazi. Back to the AP article about Sullivan's involvement in the Iranian nuclear deal. Had this former deputy to Hillary Clinton been held accountable for his role in the Benghazi cover-up, any deal with Iran would not have involved him. Senior administration officials had previously confirmed to the Associated Press that Sullivan and other officials held at least five secret meetings with Iran this year, paving the way for an interim nuclear agreement signed in November by Iran, the United States, and five other world powers. In fact, approximately 5 months after Benghazi, when the truth about Sullivan's role in misleading the American people via Rice most assuredly had been known by the White House, Sullivan was promoted. He became Vice President Joe Biden's National Security Advisor. Despite Sullivan being intimately involved in the lie about a video being responsible for the Benghazi attack, he was given more responsibility instead of being fired and branded. This reality should only further implicate the Obama administration, yet as a body, Congress remains relatively impotent. I got to tell you something. I watched Daryl Issa on these hearings, and they're not going anywhere. He is like a eunuch. He cannot get anything done. The White House just refuses to give him any paperwork he asks for, and he's a puppet up there. He's a puppet on a string with no power. And I feel sorry because he has good intentions, but he just can't get the job done. Another very close and extremely trusted colleague of Hillary is still singing Sullivan's praises as well. He's essentially a once-in-a-generation talent, said Philip Rhines, a longtime Clinton aide who worked closely with Sullivan during their tenure at the State Department. State Department's rotten. It's rotten. It stinks. There's probably more communists there than there was in the 40s. Crafting demonstrable lies to be spouted by the administration about what happened in Benghazi? Though Rhines has high praise for Sullivan today, he cussed at one reporter who was looking for answers in the days of the Benghazi attacks. And there's a picture of Hillary Clinton and Rhines sharing a laugh with John McCain. Yeah. Oh, and she is laughing, man. She's laughing as hard as when she joked about killing Gaddafi. We came, we saw, we killed him, and he was sodomized. And then my friend, the ambassador, Al-Qaeda came and saw and killed him, and he was sodomized, and the papers took that right out. They took the sodomy part right out. Yeah, the truth will set us free, but not from the New York Times or NBC. Sullivan should be toxic. He is being praised as Clinton's close aide more than 6 months after his role in the cover-up came to light. All of this says nothing about the allegiances of another close confidant of Hillary, Huma Abedin, the wife of the Manhattan Flasher. Yeah. Anthony Flagburner Weasel. Anthony Weasel Weiner, the protege of Chuck Schumer. Based on what is known about Sullivan, the Iranian nuclear deal in its present form was negotiated in part by a man who should have long been jettisoned by the White House. That he was not torpedoes any narrative the White House puts forth about Benghazi or the Iran deal. So that's the story, compliments of Walid Shubat. Okay, I trust Walid. I do not trust the State Department, and I have reservations about the CIA. Proverbs 29:12. If a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. That's from John. There's 8 comments. Vaquero 70 comments, amen. Dusty Fay says, no one will ever be held accountable for this. They all lie and cover up for each other. It all seems to be lost. I hate the way things turned out, and all because Muslim Brotherhood wanting to take down another government and become the dictators to the world. Vaquero 70 says, we might have to wait until the next president gets to office. My friends, we can't wait. We cannot wait. You got to start impeachment proceedings. Start with Eric Holder. If we fail at Eric Holder, do not attempt to impeach the president. But if we get Eric Holder, then go after the president. This is not going to happen. If the next president is anything but a Republican, the only way to uncover this is to have a checks and balance system that would require a Republican president. It worked the other way around when Nixon was president, and what he did was nothing compared to this. That's from a Pop Toy, 1949. Change Iran now. That's from Change Iran Now. It is beyond comprehension that the U.S. is prepared to relax sanctions on this terrorist nation. Just this Thursday, Camp Liberty was the target of a barrage of dozens of missiles, which killed three pro-democracy residents and left more than 50 wounded. This missile attack on Camp Liberty was act of favor trading between Iraqi Prime Minister and Iran's regime's supreme leader. The attack reflects a desperate attempt by the Iranian regime's supreme leader, Ali Khamenei, to confront the crisis of overthrow facing the vulnerable theocracy. Khamenei is trying to salvage the regime through the massacre of the pro-democracy members. Without pressure from the negotiating powers to improve the human rights situation, the Iranian government is likely to continue its current record of terror in the region. And they must have been hurting, and they called Obama for help. Teresa Guybe Bacon. Agreeing with those who say nothing will be done, nothing is done in any president cabinet we have. No one ever pays a price, some Watergate, G. Gordon Liddy, I think the longest, or Chuck Colson, and those were not the same kind of crimes as present administration. I feel so for the families of all who have suffered under this president and his administration. That includes the sheeple Republicans. Liberty Tribune, just more academic people that have never worked in the privacy sector. They have no clue as to what they are doing, which is the hallmark of this administration. Usually there's somebody in there, even a plant, to ruffle feathers, but these are eight united, in their opinion, people. It is really sad. It is absolutely sad. And what your media is not telling you is that there are a lot of Americans dying, and with more to come. Right now, the media says we're up to 2,100 dead NATO troops, and they all live in the United States. And we yet have to experience the runout from Afghanistan. And every jihadi and his mother will be coming in for that victory dance. And don't think they're not going to make it a victory dance. They are going to see to it that it makes TV, every American being backshot on the way out. And if you think Obama screwed up health care, wait until you see what happens on this runout. He screwed up Benghazi. There was only four guys. Wait till you see when he tries to move 65,000 troops. Yeah, it's going to be high noon.
Do not forsake me, oh my God. this our wedding day. Do not forsake me, oh my darling. Fate awaits me. I only know I must be brave, for I must face the man who hates me. Or lie a coward, a craven coward, or lie a coward in my grave. Look at that big hand move along, nearing high noon. He made a vow while in state prison, love would be my life or his'n. I'm not afraid of death, but oh, what shall I do? That promise as a bride. Do not forsake me, oh my darling. Although you're grieving, don't think of leaving. Now that I need you by my side, wait a long.
High noon. We're all going to experience it. Okay, what other news do we have? Here's one from a conservative blog site. 1.3 million lose unemployment benefits today. Oh boy, isn't that going to be scary? And then there's a blog from Liberty Alliance that says Phil Robinson is back. That's a fact, Jack. Well, let's see what that one says. I know what it says, but I'll read it to you. There's another article that says hot-headed Democrats ruining the nation. Duck Dynasty is not a show about one man's views. It resonates with a large audience because it is a show about family, a family that America has come to love. As you might have seen in many episodes, they come together to reflect and pray for unity, tolerance, and forgiveness. These are three values that we at A&E Networks also feel strongly about. So here's what A&E did. They counted up the amount of business they're going to lose, and then they looked at the sissies that were trying to make a mountain out of a molehill, and they said, F the sissies. Yeah. That's what it was, man. Let's see what the bloggers say. A&E sees the light and back down. So tolerance, after all, is the right concept to embrace, and Phil said nothing to contradict that. Problem, tolerance is not enough for GLAD. I like these GLAD people. I buy their bags. I have no problem with them. I definitely support the BLT people. Anybody that likes a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich is a friend of mine. Yeah, what kind of crap we're fighting. They got us dueling windmills. We are the new Don Quixotes. They want everyone to consider their lifestyle normal, and that is not something any group can force anyone to accept. I am tolerant all day long. Just don't shove things I don't believe down my throat and then tell me I'm an oddball. Very well said, my friend. You are a great American.
They hate that. The left hates that when you call each other great Americans. They go up the walls. Yeah, Hannity introduced that saying, you're a great American. Man, they go nuts. Yeah. Another example, one got away by using religion to justify hate. Oh, Jack from Colorado. Oh, Jack, what's the matter, baby? What happened? The dope didn't get there on time? Huh? What happened? The cocaine truck broke down. Everything's legal in Colorado, including murder. Amazing. When Billy Graham called homosexuality a sin, he didn't get this much attention. Finally, a nation speaks. Were it not for an old guy in hunting fatigues, America would continue to be catering to all of the special interest groups that for so long have tried to gain control of our rights to suit their own selfish desires. Thanks, Phil, for awakening the spiritual side of America. And most of all, if not for a man hanging on a cross, we never would have hope. We never would have the hope that exists. Thank you, Jesus. God bless Jim Jesus. God bless Jesus and Tim Tebow. And I was a guest at a house tonight, and they played the Christmas music. And it was a secular Christmas music. Have a jolly, holly Christmas. And jingle bells, because, you know, there's no Jesus in jingle bells. And I listened to an hour's worth of tunes, and not one of them had a holy moment in them. That's called a secular Christmas. So, of course, I got home, and I brought out my 4,000 files of Christmas tunes, and I emailed them. Yeah, I even have a show up. Can we sing about the baby Jesus? If you want to check some of the archives, I got 49 minutes of Christmas tunes, and they all got God in them. They don't have reindeer. There were no reindeer at the manger. There were some cows. There were sheep. Yeah, but there were no reindeer. So let's see. I read through my Bible every year, and this morning this is what I read. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, and when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Very nice. Very nice. Hey, there's a lot to be said about that Bible. I'm reading about Teddy Roosevelt, and he's describing what he has to do as a human being to serve the American people. If you read the paragraph, you would be in shock to compare him to the garbage that we've been living with for so long. Yeah, GLAAD has a bigger problem than just the ducks. They won't accept truth. It's their way or no way. Where is their tolerance, open-mindedness? Is it their way or no other way? Sorry for your closed minds to another view based on a loving, caring belief in Jesus Christ, who is also caring for homosexuals, and there is proof to this in those who have turned unto him and are free, that love each other because they accepted his love for eternity. Very nice. Very nice. You know who else loves Jesus Christ? The priest in St. Patrick's Cathedral, the one in California, in San Francisco, who was giving out communion and had it spit in his face by a sicko. And that same priest, after church, goes to a hospital, which is no longer there, called St. Vincent's. It's now a high-rise apartment.
and he gave that same communion to boys dying of a disease that 60 years ago was unknown to America. You know the one I'm talking about. And yet, he loved as Jesus loves. So anyway, having said that, I don't want to dwell. I'm glad to see that the Ducks are in luck. And if they had gone to another network, A&E knows that would be the end of A&E. They were seeing the lines around Chick-fil-A. They know where their bread is buttered. Definitely, absolutely, definitely. So back to the radio show, and we'll find you a tune. I like Frankie Lane, by the way, in case you didn't know it. Here's one. It's about the victory over evil. You know, a lot of Americans have no idea how cheap life is outside the United States. If you think life is cheap inside the United States, you got to go to Africa. You got to go to the Middle East and see how cheap life really is. Child soldiers fighting in rebel ranks in Syria. Narrator, behind the firing hole in the city of Deir al-Zor, we met one of the youngest heroes of the Free Syrian Army in this city of steadfastness. Salam alaikum, Rashdi Muhammad says, alaikum assalam. Narrator, what is your name? Rashdi says, Rashdi Muhammad. Narrator, how old are you? Rashdi Muhammad says, 13. Narrator, what are you doing here? Rashdi says, I'm with the heroes of the Free Assyrian Army. Narrator, what made you join the Free Assyrian Army? I joined in order to defend our land and the honor of our women. What makes you enter the city, asked the narrator, when all the young men are staying away? Rashdi, I wasn't ready to accept the disgrace and humiliation. Narrator, What is your message to the young men of the villages and to the men of the city who remain outside? 13-year-old Rashti says, shame on you. You don't think that couldn't happen in the United States?
Oh, no, we're the land of the free. Yes, they told me that yesterday when I went to the brainwashing session.
Deir al-Zur, November 24th, 2012. Narrator. We are in Deir al-Zur. It is November 24th. Man, Allahu Akbar. Fighters, Allahu Akbar. Narrator, this is the youngest man fighting in Syria. O Bashar al-Assad, what is your name? Danny. Danny what? Danny Walid. What are you doing here with the men? I stayed here like them. How old are you, my fellow fighter? 14. What neighborhood are you from? From Sheikh Yassin. What are you doing here? I'm looking for Ghassan. You're looking for Ghassan Aboud? Yes. People say that the army entered all the schools. Is that true? Walid says no. Oh, Bashar al-Assad, this is our youngest fighter. Even the children have begun fighting you. By Allah, we will pelt you with shoes until you are toppled. Danny Walid, say Allah Akbar, and the fighters say Allah Akbar. Boy, Allah, Ahmed was killed. Ahmed, calm down. Allah, Ahmed, never mind, let's go. That's the end of that interview. Narrator, we have with us brother Abu Jassim. Abu Jassim is the youngest hero of the Free Assyrian Army. This is one of the sectors Abu Jassim commands, a shooting post, sowing chaos in the regime's ranks. Abu Jassim is well known among the different brigades. He and others his age are defending their country. Abu Jassim, the brothers who left us should return. We are defending our land and our country. With the help of Allah, the regime will not pass through here. We will be steadfast until we win or die. And they're not giving the kids a name, age. So it's an interview of young kids, and it's a whole bunch of them. I thought I saw one that was like about 9 years old. I can't find it now. These people have no belief, no honor, no zeal. They are like animals, maybe worse. They are infidels. Yes. Oh, 8 years old. He's asking, what is your name? Ahmed, how old are you? 8. Where are your father and mother? My father and mother were killed. My mother was killed and I kissed her. We have lots of kids like him in Aleppo. Footage of Ahmed throwing a grenade, then ducking until the explosion, shouting Allahu Akbar. And that's what's going on in the Middle East. And the Christians are being persecuted and destroyed. I don't know how that could stop. I blame Saudi Arabia. And they should open up a sanctuary for all mothers and children involved in Islamic wars and give them a sanctuary until the wars end. But you know what? Zakat is only for show. Yeah. Charity is only for show. So, having read you that story, we'll go to Mexico to an oil, Gulf oil standoff. This one, I think, is more, if Mexico was to witness an energy rebirth like the United States, we don't have an energy rebirth. They've opened the spigot for drops. We could be financially independent before Obama gets thrown out of office. All we have to do is drill, baby, drill. In 1998, one barrel of oil on the open market was $10. In November of 1998, every sheikh, emir, and king were in Abu Dhabi for a conference to get the price of oil back up because it was bleeding the jihad tax bill. Yeah. So they had a meeting. and everybody was there. If you ever wanted to take out all of the heads of state, all you had to do was drop the big one in Abu Dhabi, and they would all be gone. You'd have new rulers tomorrow. However, we can't do that because we're the Americans, and we always have to take the first hit before we strike back. It's the American way. But you know what George Patton said? He said twice he saw his country come from behind. He doubted in a nuclear world with missiles if we could ever do it again. So there's a general that knew how to win that had his doubts. So let's see what this says. If Mexico was to witness an energy rebirth like the United States, it would be because of one resource, oil. But thanks to massive corruption, a lack of foresight, and an inadequate spending on technology and repairs they're not even paying for, Mexican oil fields are underproducing. Current production numbers show a decline from around 3.5 million barrels a day in 2005 to less than 3 million a day in 2013. And the Mexican government refuses to provide resources for drilling and production improvements. One of the nations that must have the greatest resources in the world has got to be Brazil. And they've got children living in rag shacks in Rio de Janeiro that come out and rob all the tourists so that they can buy food and drugs, because with poverty comes drugs. Now, though, everything is about to change. It may have taken decades, but it appears Mexico has finally learned its lesson. You see, Mexican oil, like that of many other oil-rich countries, is controlled by a government-run company. And for more than 70 years, Petróleos Mexicanos, Pemex, was the only company allowed to drill in Mexico. But President Enrique Peña Nieto recently approved a sweeping reform that will allow private companies to drill for oil and gas in Mexico. And that means there will soon be an oil bonanza south of the border. In fact, by 2025, this is the thing that kills me, man. We have been trying to get the restrictions on oil drilling, and they say, you know what, we don't need it. It'll take 10 years to pay. 10 years? About 10 minutes. How about 10 minutes, huh? Why don't you just get your face out of the frying pan? The biggest beneficiaries of a production increase in Mexico will be big oil, and the two companies at the forefront are Exxon and Royal Dutch Shell. The Mexican government is courting these companies because they have cash and lots of it. Pemex is currently spending around $12 billion a year in development, but that number needs to more than double for production to reach projected levels. Basically, Mexico believes that it needs outside help to take full advantage of its energy resources. Entrepreneurship is hard to find outside the United States. Creativity is not a gift to all countries. Luckily, ExxonMobil makes around $30 billion annually, and Shell makes approximately $18 billion, meaning they have the cash that Mexico desperately needs. You know what? That's small change. That is really small change when you think of how much money is in oil. So, should Mexico open its borders? However, this isn't a risk-free play, okay? And this is the one that will kill the communists. That spells a mini-boom for the oil majors as well as equipment suppliers and drillers like Halliburton and Schlumberger. With their money, Mexican oil and gas production can finally realize its potential. Oh, the communists will be all upset. Dick Cheney sits on the board of directors of Halliburton. Halliburton, every time they talk about capitalism, they quote Halliburton. How about Hollywood, Pornowood, that sells drugs like there's no tomorrow to audiences like it was popcorn, that sells porn to audiences like it was popcorn? You want to see the Hollywood lifestyle? Go see Wolf, the Wolf of Wall Street. The Wolf of Wall Street. Go see that. And remember, the guy that's making the most money in the movie is the guy who made the movie. Yeah. You think about that. And then, of course, the thing I worry about the most is we American people have come to realize they can't trust their media. They can't trust the cover-up artists at the New York Times, the Washington Post, Newsweek, which has a picture of a Japanese in Japanese writing of an American flag in the garbage pail. And they did that on a Pearl Harbor issue. I got it. You go to my website, you'll see it there. I think it's the one where I have the 2,500, the first 2,500 guys to die in Iraq. www.captainsblog.us. I used to keep track of all the casualties, and I, after about 2,500, I couldn't do it anymore. It is sad that there's 4,700 who died in Iraq. Obama has killed 2,100 in Afghanistan, and he could care less. He is a hero without a heart. But he will match Bush. And you know how many people died in Afghanistan under Bush? Guess how many? 461. So if you use that ratio, 461 to 2,100. What's it going to look like after the runout when 65,000 American troops have to skedaddle? And you know he has no plan. This man doesn't plan for anything. Just look at the health care plan. He doesn't plan for anything. He's changing the rules of engagement every day, depending on who's getting engaged to him. It's unbelievable. So we'll go to another issue. Obamacare taxes. Oh, this is from Daily Sanity. Obamacare taxes crushing American families. You got a tax junkie in Washington, D.C. That junkie has a Jones that cannot be satisfied. Every day they dream up new ways of siphoning off whatever you got left. You think about it. I want to tell you something. My father raised five children on a salary of $67 a week, $37 a month rent. And he was off every weekend. Every weekend of his entire life. You think about that. And tell me how quick you can pass your kids from your hands to your wife's hands as you go out to work and she's coming back from work. Tell me. Tell me who's in charge of what today. And why are you paying the taxes you're paying? You are being robbed and so am I. Real estate taxes are a sin. Are a sin. What does it matter? How much of your house do you own? You don't. The government owns your house. It's ridiculous. And these tax junkies, the more they see, the more they want. And they dream up fines. They go after big business. They go after anybody that's got income. They're coming for you. Dear conservative, we all know the Affordable Care Act is fundamentally and fatally flawed. First of all, there is no way to introduce so many people with pre-existing conditions into the insurance pools and still expect prices to decrease. That was the number one lie. It's going to be $2,500 cheaper. He came up. Where did he get that figure? Health insurance is, as the name implies, a type of insurance. Enrollees pay monthly premiums. You know, there's a lot of people out there in the workplace, probably 91 million or so, and many of them have no idea how much health insurance really costs because their boss has been paying it, been paying the lion's share. But they may find out that in certain companies, the boss is going to say, I'm sorry, we just can't make the nut anymore. You're on your own. We'll give you a couple of bucks to put towards the stamps. When they do require medical care, enrollees are charged a deductible to ensure that they don't abuse the system. The general theory behind this is that everyone in the insurance pool will hopefully not need health care. But who's signing up? All the sick people. Drug addicts are signing up because they want the rehab and the free methadone. That way, young and healthy enrollees are able to subsidize the health care in the program that currently needed. Health insurance as a concept cannot work if everyone in the program is sick at the same time. And that is why, and you know what? I blame the insurance companies for this mess because they allowed Obama to con them into thinking that they were going to make a bundle on this deal. And now they're finding out that Obama may be throwing them out because he wants the whole pie. And the American people will subsidize all his waste. Yeah, give us your waste. This is why the Obama administration has been trying so hard to get Hollywood celebrities. You know what? You watch a movie and the guy's a great actor, let it stay there. Let it lie there. That's it. Leonardo DiCaprio, fantastic guy. Robert De Niro, fantastic actor. Matt Damon, fantastic actor. As soon as they open up their mouths about politics, shut down. Do not gather in one word. It'll make you sick, and they will make you sick, and they have no idea what they're doing. They live in a little bubble. There's two bubbles, the Hollywood bubble and the Washington bubble. And those people are bubbleites. Yeah, they're bubbleites. They have no idea what's going on in the world. They just know how to act like our president. Now, if this is all we had to worry about, we'd be much better off. Well, let's see what this guy's talking about. Thanks to Obamacare, a new 3.8% capital gains tax will be levied on all households making over $250,000 a year and all individuals making over $200,000 a year. Well, that's not me. That's my father. Yeah, but it doesn't bother me. I'm living in the basement free. I don't pay no taxes. I'm getting a grant. I'm going to get one of those Fulbright scholarships because I'm full and I'm bright. Now at face value, this added tax will affect a small percentage of Americans. You know, nobody's making over $250,000 unless you're a corrupt politician or a lawyer. However, there are small business owners who drive this economy and employ, this is now you got to get worried, who employ over 55% of the American workforce. An additional 3.8% tax means 3.8% less for these small business owners to use to expand their business and put more Americans to work. The thing that bugs me the most is the president comes out and he announces he's raising the minimum wage. And they all go, oh, the government gave us a raise. Yeah, who's paying for it? The employer. You see, the government doesn't pay anything. The raise credit goes to the employer who's now stuck with the tab. Now, how is he going to balance the books? Well, you know, Joe's a little slow. And being that I got to kick in more, I got to take it from Joe. Hey, Joe, can I see you a minute, buddy? Now, you might not make over $250,000 a year, but how much is your house worth? That's right. Obama will tax some home sales. So they're going to get your home. They're going to own part of your home. When you go to work in the morning, if you stepped out the door and saw all the government leeches that are waiting for a piece of your action, you would throw up. Hey, can we get you going to work this morning? Can I get $10 for rehab? Can I get the $10 to build a mosque in Pakistan? Can I get $10 to give an Obama phone to somebody that's not home? By the time you got finished paying off everybody, the next morning you would come out of the house with an illegal handgun. Yeah, unbelievable, man. But what is your house worth? So they're going to get you on home sales. And currently the tax code exempts the majority of homes from being subject to capital gains taxes when sold. Four couples' primary homes sold for less than $500,000 are covered, while individual homeowners are not only exempt, up to $200,000. What this means, if you sell your primary home and it sells for less than these amounts, you will not be forced to pay capital gains taxes. But if the home surpasses this $200,000 to $500,000 threshold, the difference is considered taxable income. And that's where we're at. That's only one little... These guys sit around Washington all day long doing drugs and dreaming up new tax schemes. The colonists rioted over a 2% tax on tea, just on tea. That's the only tax they had, was on tea. A tax on their beverage of choice was enough to spark a civil disobedience and ultimately a revolution. I'm not asking you to take up arms and march on Washington. That's it. It was 2%. 2%. That's by Joe Otto from the Conservative Daily. That's what that American Revolution was about, a 2% tax on tea only. Yeah, it was also about seizing guns. They wanted to take everybody's guns away. See, the only one that wants to take your gun away is somebody that intends to kill you. You know that, right? Don't you see that? You don't believe that? No. You don't believe it ever happened anywhere else in the world? Who's got the right to bear arms in Russia? Yeah. Who's got the right to bear arms anywhere in the world, in China? Who's got the right to bear arms in Australia? Who's got the right to bear arms in England?
Well, you see that they don't have any guns in England and everything is hunky-dory, except for that guy that had his throat cut by two jihadis outside a military post, and they soaked in blood, and they remind the British that their day is coming. Yeah, that's why they're all over here now. They're making the early exit. Judge tosses out atheist lawsuit accusing Hawaii churches of defrauding the government. Oh, man, the communists really hate the Christians. 38 dead after bombing strike Iraqi Christian areas on Christmas Day. I remember when they blew up St. Thomas Church in Baghdad, and I saw the pictures and I saw the broken hearts of the priests and the parishioners. And I got to tell you, I lost a lot of respect for Islam. I was a romantic. I thought that they were good people. And they are, some are. But I got to tell you, their religion calls for jihad. And then Imam gets 20% of all booty taken in jihad. And they will kill anybody who's an infidel and not bat an eye. They practice on camels and lambs all day long. Yep. Just think about the people on the airplanes that had their throats cut, all the pilots that had their throats cut. These people, this is part of their religion. Throat cutting is a sacrament. Jihad is a sacrament. They die for Allah. They're going to get 72 virgins, 80 with a coupon. So you think about that, and what's the solution to the problem? There's only two things you can do. There's only one thing they understand, that's power. They have no respect for anything else. So there's two things you can do. You can nuke them, get rid of them all, or you can convert them to a peaceful religion, a religion of love. Wouldn't it be easier to convert them to Christianity? Huh? Show them the way. Not by turning the other cheek, but just showing them that Jesus loves them. Mom's daughter found Christ, miraculously survived a torture. God bless her and protect her. Judge tosses out the atheists. Get out of my church court. A judge has thrown out a lawsuit that accused several churches in Hawaii of defrauding the government. The suit, Akale versus New Hope International Ministries, was filed by atheists Mitchell Kale and Holy Huber in March
and Holly Huber in March of this year. Kale, a founder of Hawaii Citizens for the Communist Separation of Church and State, and I put in communist. Anytime you hear the word communist, I put it in there. And public advocate Yuba alleged that five churches in Hawaii that rent school facilities for worship have committed fraud by using false records or statements to reduce or forego. Here comes the IRS. Yeah, right after they get all of the Tea Party people, the IRS will be coming after the churches. Under the leadership of Obama bin Laden, the atheist, the complaint filed in the First Circuit Court of Appeals asserted that the churches collectively owe the government $5.6 million. That's it. Break them, baby. Break them. And that they filed false applications to obtain discounted rates and have used the facilities for longer than their contracts allow. Yes, under the state's False Claim Act. And the judge said, go and sin no more. And this is the sign that's on the grounds of the Haleakala House of God. Sacred grounds and proud of Kaloka Amelemama Church. No trespassing, drinking of alcoholic beverages, smoking, use of illegal drugs, use of foul language, use of park projects. Unless you see the light, and then you could come in. Unbelievable, man. Let me go back to a tune. I think I have no time left. We'll check. Let me hit this, baby. Oh, Phil Robinson is back. Oh, by the way, you know this Santa Claus thing? You know there is a saint named Saint Nicholas, and he's the real Santa Claus. He was at the conference of the Council of Nicaea, and he signed the Nicene Creed, and he was a bishop, a holy bishop, and he performed miracles, and the Greek Orthodox love him. And so in honor of Saint Nicholas, I now call Santa Claus Santa Cross. A lot of people who think I'm Japanese trying to pronounce my L's. But Santa Claus is my boy. And the next time you see Santa Claus, he'll have a nice big crucifix and in with the gifts. Back to Blog Talk Radio. Here we go. I got no time left. I'm going to sign off. I'll leave you with a nice tune. Here's one dedicated to one of the nicest guys that ever was in show business, Johnny Mathis. Give me a big smile.
understand all the words. Up there in the Hindu Kush, counting marking time. God loves you. Stay safe. Keep your eyes open. Keep your powder dry. Have a nice night.